Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the AlbumReview.net podcast. I'm Greg Potters. Thanks to all you listeners out there for your interaction and feedback. Your feedback is much appreciated, and it helps me to always improve. For today, yep, we're taking another trip back in time. When am I going to review a recent album? Soon, don't worry. When am I going to stop talking about vinyl records? All right, never, okay? Today I'm going to take you on a trip to California to, if you haven't already, discover the Beach Boys' 1966 absolute masterpiece album, Pet Sounds. If you think this is going to be all about fun, sun, and surfing, well, pick another podcast. You're going to learn something today, okay? All right, remember, you can read my reviews and listen to any of my podcast episodes by going to albumreview.net. These episodes can be heard wherever podcasts are available. Please follow my podcast on your preferred platform so you can get regular updates on new episodes. Also, if you guys would be so kind as to pop a quick review or rate the podcast, that helps move the needle and get the word out there. In addition to listening, you can read over 45 written reviews at albumreview.net and pick up some merchandise from your favorite bands such as trucker hats, t-shirts, several of your favorite albums, home sound systems, and books that I've read and highly recommend. I have self-help books for inspiration, books from authors who I've had on the show, and I've got several biographies in there you can pick from such as Tom Petty, Motley Crue, Alice in Chains, Metallica, Rush, Pink Floyd, Faith No More, Aerosmith, and many, many others. And new to albumreview.net is the tools and resources page. I'm grateful to have some sponsors on the podcast now. And so in connection to this, I've created the tools and resources page. This is a list of the tools and resources I recommend to you guys to help you achieve your goals. It's not just necessarily one product to one specific goal, but it's a library of products to help you. Some of these products have an affiliate tied to them. Some of these are just helpful articles, books, and information that I want to share. So check them out at the Tools and Resources page and enjoy. So Scott Howard wouldn't have surfed on Styles' van to this album. If he did, he'd likely be just sitting up there rolling a fat one while Styles and Lewis drove crazy through the streets of rural Nebraska. Go Beavers! I'd like to see that someday. All right, get ready for my review of the Beach Boys' 1966 classic album, Pet Sounds. If you're listening to this right now, I'm guessing you're a member of one of two groups. There's the, really? The Beach Boys? Those people's recollection is happy-go-lucky 1960s teeny bopper music, not something that ever grabbed them. Then you have the other group who are thinking, ah, please, no more Pet Sounds mentions. We've been there. We've done that. Yes, we've heard over and over about this album. It's important for folks listening to this right now to understand or remember. Before the Beach Boys released Pet Sounds in 1966, nothing close to this content and arrangement had ever been written, arranged, or recorded in this way before. So I kind of grew up listening to such Beach Boys hits as I Get Around, Help Me Rhonda, Surfin' USA, thank you Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf. These are fun, poppy songs that are catchy and easy for a 5 or 10 year old to sing along to, you know? But when I heard Pet Sounds years later as an adult, I was mesmerized by so many things, especially the vocal harmonization. And that's what I wanted to talk with you about today. It's important to listen deeply to how the vocal harmonization and chord changes on this album blow the doors off all the rules involved in writing music. Pet Sounds is a deviation from the band's previous records. Instead of the standard surfing, beach girls, and California sun themes, this album's structured with a really more from an orchestral foundation. Writer and producer Brian Wilson decided he was going to write material involving intimate subject matter, including from the perspective of being what he was, insecure, vulnerable, and let's face it, a little neurotic. In 1966, Wilson was recovering from a nervous breakdown that he suffered while on an airplane with his bandmates on tour. The constant stress of touring resulted in Wilson staying off the road to focus solely on writing. How interesting is that? While the rest of the Beach Boys toured the entire planet, Brian Wilson spent months writing this masterpiece, Pet Sounds. From July through December 1965, Wilson worked tirelessly every day on the album, only taking breaks to eat and sleep. The album opens with "Wouldn't It Be Nice?" Double tracking of guitars, one drum hit, followed by the verse just kicking in. If you've been living on this planet, you will recognize this song. It's that popular. The song has been featured in like more than 20 movies at least. What changed my musical life was the album's second track, You Still Believe in Me. Brian Wilson recorded the intro to this song by plucking the strings inside the piano with a bobby pin. This is an incredibly unique sound not achieved prior to this album, and the song then segues into a sweet-sounding vocal harmonization, man. I lose control of my steering wheel when Wilson sings, "I Want to Cry," and the song dives deep, deep into a cauldron of vocal harmony. The harmony then halts in place, only to pick back up and continue riding the listener off into the California sunset.
I know perfectly well I'm not where I should be. I've
an absolute beautiful representation of art. You can feel Wilson's pain as he sings about his displeasures of letting someone down who he knows is depending on him. I know I battle with this phobia quite often and immediately connected with Brian Wilson and his lyrics. Brian admitted the use of LSD influencing his writing on Pet Sounds significantly. You think? He stated in an interview years later, quote, LSD brought out some of the insecurities in me, which I think went into the music, end quote. Songwriter Tony Asher also contributed to writing on this album. The two met months before recording in 1965 and collaborated. Asher stated he was drawn to Wilson's desire to writing something, quote, completely different with someone he had never written with before, end quote. Wilson wanted to make a statement when he wrote Pet Sounds. He went so far as pouring pounds of sand into his living room underneath his grand piano so that he could mimic the feeling of being on a beach while he wrote. He wanted to make Pet Sounds into a concept album, meaning void of random arrangement of each track. Now, most albums up until 1965 were a collection of radio hits pieced together with little, if really any, thought on how or what order they were going to be placed in. A concept album is pieced together deliberately. In many ways, a concept album tells one story. Each song either covers a similar lyrical topic or incorporates a similar musical note or chord into each song. Now, Pet Sounds was not created in the same concept as, say, The Who's Tommy or Pink Floyd's The Wall, where significant repetition and revisiting of subjects were present there. But instead, it introduces chord changes and musical arrangements only previously performed by large symphony orchestras. That's the difference that I want you to get here. Many music executives and artists name the content art rock, progressive rock, or psychedelic pop. It was the first album that was really about the album. It was not solely a carrier of a bunch of singles held together, like a lot of previous albums. Pet Sounds eventually changed the music industry to more of an album-oriented focus. Now, what gave me goosebumps was reading interviews with Wilson where he admits he wrote Pet Sounds after hearing the Beatles' Rubber Soul album. The album blew Brian away and inspired him to be better. And if you look further, you can find interviews with all four members of the Beatles admitting when each of them heard Pet Sounds, it inspired them to gang together and write their next masterpiece, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, in 1967, as many regard as the greatest album ever recorded. Pet Sounds integrates pieces of pop, classical, jazz, exotica, and avant-garde music, while the other members, Mike Love, Dennis Wilson, Al Jardine, Carl Wilson, and Bruce Johnston, were touring Japan, Brian Wilson teamed up with a string of studio session musicians used frequently by record producer Phil Spector, which was called the Wrecking Crew. These musicians were classically trained and hired by Wilson to play the increasingly complex nature of his arrangements. And when the rest of the band returned from Japan, several of the members were really less thrilled by Brian's departure from the formula that brought them that intense global fame, you know? However, they were aware of Brian's talent, and they realized in order to stay relevant, they needed him to continue writing for them. Capitol Records, the band's label, were also unhappy by the new content. Capitol reluctantly released the album Pet Sounds in May of 1966, but immediately scrambled to release a greatest hits album soon after to, you know, kind of keep the money coming in. Without the band's consent, they did this. I think the lack of support Capitol had for Brian Wilson fueled his anxiety and in many ways fueled his desire to make better records. Brian Wilson, to me, seems like such a sweet, caring dreamer who just wanted to make music. He never intended to hurt people or win in the business. I don't know, man. I think he's a true soul searcher. Thank God he's still with us to this day. He's filled with love and the need to share his music with the world. A track that brings the energy level, I think, to an 11 on this album is called Sloop John B. This is certainly a song that you've heard before. You don't even need to be a fan of the Beach Boys to know this one. It's just a staple.
We come on this Sloop John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau time.
Originally published under the title The John B. Sales way back in 1916, the song was recorded again in 1927 by a guy named Carl Sandburg as a revision of the famous early 1900s Nassau Bahama folk song. The song was again recorded several times, most memorable by the Kingston Trio back in 1958. But Beach Boys band member Al Jardine brought the song to Brian Wilson's attention, encouraging him to write a cover version. And Brian at first declined, but then he later peeled the song apart, creating his own beat, coupled with the Beach Boys vocal harmonization, and gave it a new feel. Their version of Sloop John B. ended up charting at number 3 in the United States on the Billboard Top 100 in 1966, and it's difficult not to belt out the song's popular chorus. I wanna go home, I feel so broke up, I wanna go home. God Only Knows begins side 2 of the record. Yeah, that's right, I'm talking about the record. Once again, another staple. This is a tune I'm willing to bet everyone has heard also. If you're not sure, play it on your phone right now real quick. Just go do it. You'll instantly remember hearing this somewhere. It's also famous for being at the end of the film Boogie Nights, one of my favorite movies. And the song takes you on this sweet, soft journey back in time.
Mm-hmm. love you. But long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Reminded of my mom playing this song in our living room growing up. She was a true Beach Boys fan. She would play this over and over and over, and I can remember my jaw dropping as I heard the chord progressions here. It's a true love song. The band uses two bass guitars to record this track, along with several accordions, a French horn, a harpsichord, a cello, and sleigh bells. I mean, that's just different, right? The song is about loss. Wilson and Asher wanted to write about the fact that in loss, many times there is gain. A gain of perception as to what really matters in life. Another way to put it is, even though blind people can't see, in many cases, man, they see much more than all of us. Side two rounds out with, I know there's an answer here today. I just wasn't made for these times. The song Pet Sounds, and then ends with Caroline No. These songs do have a taste of doo-wop to them. As a listener, I recommend you pay attention to Wilson's lyrical and instrumental placement. Now, as previously mentioned, he places a lot of orchestral changes on here. Try listening to older, traditional doo-wop from the 1950s. Let's face it, it's more simplistic. It hits you right between the eyes with its point, right? Okay, so it's doing its job. The song gets right to the catchy chorus and serves the purpose, much like the early 60s Beach Boys music does. But this album, man, it's just different. It has the doo-wop mixed with some early psychedelic overtones. Now, I'm not referring to Pink Floyd psychedelic, where the song just takes you to Never Never Land, for crying out loud. These songs will lure a basic music fan in of any age group who likes to hum a catchy tune. However, all of a sudden, if you listen closely, you can hear what is going on in the background from an arrangement standpoint, which is truly remarkable. To this extent, it is not traditional doo-wop. This is groundbreaking. Perhaps this might be the reason Rolling Stone magazine rated Pet Sounds number 2 on their list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Before you go getting opinionated, I think it's important to understand Rolling Stone magazine's reasons. They're not listing the record so high because some writer connected more than they did with 499 other albums he listened to. Stephen Davis of Rolling Stone magazine said this about Pet Sounds, quote, "Pet Sounds was the first rock record that could be considered a concept album. From first cut to last, we were treated to an intense, linear, personal vision of the vagaries of love affair and the painful, introverted anxieties that are the wrenching precipitates of the unstable chemistry of any love relationship. The trenchant cycle of love songs has the emotional impact of a shatteringly evocative novel. And by God, if this little record didn't change only the course of popular music, but the course of a few lives, in the bargain, end quote. So I agree that Pet Sounds is the first concept album, and it changed the way artists wrote and recorded albums moving forward forever. See my mention to the Beatles' reaction to Pet Sounds earlier in this review. In a way, the Beach Boys almost worked themselves out of a job, because after numerous bands began to embrace the concept album approach, the non-concept album began to take a back seat. Recording companies such as Capitol started to gravitate towards the Beatles' types of albums, where every song has a reason for being in the place that it is. And this is the reason, I think, that Rolling Stone put this at number two. So I encourage all of you to open your mind, open your ears, and prepare for something different. Go pick yourself up a copy of Pet Sounds on vinyl and own a piece of history. I do. For me, it's a trip down memory lane. Thanks to my mom for playing their records. For you, perhaps it's an opportunity to be turned on to something new. Thank you again for listening to the albumreview.net podcast. I hope you enjoyed this review of the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds. Remember, if you're interested in any of the albums I've discussed in this episode or previous episodes, go to albumreview.net and pick up a copy of your own. Listen to all my podcast album reviews at albumreview.net by clicking on the podcast tab. They can also be heard wherever podcasts are available. Please follow the show on your preferred platform so you can get regular updates on new episodes. And also, if you guys would be so kind as to pop a quick review or rate the podcast, that helps move the needle and get the word out there. I do want to hear from you guys, so please email me your feedback, album review requests, and any questions you may have to gpotters@albumreview.net. That's gpotters at albumreview.net. Stay tuned for updates on Instagram and Facebook. You can find me at albumreview.net. Join the mailing list, which is on the homepage of my website, or just keep refreshing your podcast. Just read and listen. Thanks again, guys. Keep listening, keep reading, and keep learning. Now I'm going to go drink me some Sloop John B.
Take a trip down by the highway. 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 Take a trip down by the highway.